Blog Talk Radio.
You are now tuned into Chaos Radio. Your host, Jared Oliver. Controversial and committed spiritual for your listening pleasure.
You cannot tell me on the ideas what you're gonna say, what you wanna hear. You might think it's black, and I might think it's right. You might think it's wrong, and I might think it's right. And that's relax, you just chill with your bad self. Put your mouth and your pants back on. Bye bye for real, you got a real deal with the Derek Oliver. It's about to bring the chaos. You can come for me. What you gonna do?
Welcome to Spiritual Sense Live radio podcast talk show. This is your host, Tim the Overseer. Hopefully everyone is doing well. And welcome back, family, for another blessed week of spirituality and spiritual wisdom and knowledge from the Word. Hopefully everything is going your way. Hopefully you're all being blessed. And hopefully you all had a wonderful and blessed week. I know that I've been blessed this week, and I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to be alive and to still be in the land of the living. Remember that we continue to pray for those that are affected by this pandemic in the world. And we most of all pray for salvation. We pray for their health and strength. And we just come praying that you all are staying safe as well. And just make sure we are uplifting one another as believers. And also pray for those that are non-believers, that they become saved and that they be safe during this pandemic as well. Well, hopefully you've all had a wonderful, blessed week. So we're going to go ahead and get into our freestyle this week. Before I do, I'd just like to thank Derek Oliver of Chaos Talk Radio for blessing us with this platform and this opportunity to spread the message and to spread the gospel and to spread the true word of our living Heavenly Father Yahweh and His Son Yeshua and things to come. We bless and praise His holy name. We thank Him, thank His Spirit. And for all that He's done for us in our lives, I'd like to take this moment to express gratitude by saying to my Heavenly Father, I'm grateful for another blessed day that He has promised me, that He said that I should be here because of His grace and His mercy. I thank Him for His Holy Spirit, thank Him for His Son, for His ultimate sacrifice, for sacrificing His life that we may have eternal life. I'd like to take this time to thank Him for a roof over my head, clothes on my back, shoes on my feet, food on my table. Thank Him for income. I thank Him for being able to work during this pandemic. There are a lot of people, so many people that are affected by this. Make sure that we are really praying for those, because there are really those that are without. And any way that we can find ourselves to be a blessing to them, let us choose to do so. All right. So, again, hopefully everything is going good. We're going to go ahead and get into our spiritual food for our soul. So without further ado, we're going to go ahead and read 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verse 31 through 1 Corinthians, the entire 13th chapter, which is the context of love, which was written by Paul. And we're going to go ahead and read that, and then we're going to go ahead and say a prayer. And without further ado, we're going to go ahead and get into our freestyle. So let's go ahead and read. It says, "But cover earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profit me nothing. Charity suffered long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Do not behave itself unseemly, seeking not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. Though whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child, thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Charity meaning love. Let us pray. Dear most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Yahweh, for life itself. We thank you for your Son, Yeshua. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for granting us life, dear Heavenly Father. And most of all, we thank you for your Son's sacrifice to grant us eternal life and to be with you forevermore, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you for your Spirit, which guides and strengthens us, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you for the saints. We've come praying for the saints, dear Heavenly Father, that you uplift them and bless them and keep them, dear Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, we also come praying for the non-believers that they receive salvation before it is too late, dear Heavenly Father, in this day and time, dear Heavenly Father. We just come thanking you and praising your holy name, for you are more than worthy to be praised, dear Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, we just come praying that right now we just bless the Spirit to come in to lead and guide and to teach, dear Heavenly Father, and that all flesh be removed, dear Heavenly Father, for spiritual understanding. Again, we bless and praise your holy name forevermore, Yahweh. Amen. Amen. All right, family. Well, hopefully you all are doing good. I feel good. I know that there are challenges that come to us throughout the days, and so we just have to stay strong in the Word, make sure that we're reading our Word, and make sure that we are staying prayed up. And so, therefore, that's just when trying times come our way, we will be able to sustain as believers. So without further ado, what we're going to talk about is probably just a few different things. I did tell you from last week that I was just going to freestyle, just kind of give me a light week, because studying these scriptures, bringing you the word, it takes a bit of work. It takes a lot of time. Again, I told you that I'm blessed and fortunate to still be working, and so because of that, I don't have as much free time as I would like, but I am grateful for what I have, and I'm grateful for what I'm able to provide to you. Again, I enjoy what I do. In fact, I love what I do, and so it bothers me none to bring you this word, and I am thankful for this gift to share with you this spiritual word. And so today we're just going to talk about a number of different things. But before we do, I just want to kind of say to you that I must apologize, actually. I just realized something, that my email address, I didn't have it linked up right. And that's because my friend told me he tried to email me, and he said it wasn't going through. And that was a mystery to me. I'm like, well, it works. At least I thought it did. So I do apologize, but I finally got it fixed. We worked on it last night, and this morning we finally got it fixed. So the email address is working. So again, I do apologize. If anyone tried to email me, it didn't go through. You can now email me at tim@spiritualsenselife.com and send me an email again with any questions, anything that you want to discuss. Anything that you may believe or you may disagree, that's fine. Again, I love you. And so, yeah, if you have any questions, feel free to reach out to me. I'd love to hear from you. Even the show about what you think, just reach out to me. I sure would appreciate it. So now I do apologize. My email address is fixed. Again, it is tim@spiritualsenselife.com. So you can contact me or communicate with me through my email. Also, just to let you know, I am on iTunes at Spiritual Sense Life on iTunes. If any of you have an iTunes account, you can listen to me there. I do have several sermons and daily bread messages for you, just to encourage you and to strengthen you during your daily walk and with our Lord and Savior. And also, next week, we're also going to be starting another show, which is going to be a freestyle, me and Big Tate Entertainment. He's a good friend of mine. We've been knowing each other all of our lives, pretty much. And we're just going to just be talking about different things, just things going on in the world. So, again, just kind of tune in next Friday. I believe it's going to be 6 p.m. Central Time. If you're on the East Coast, it's 7 p.m. And West Coast, I believe it's going to be 4 p.m. West Coast time, okay? So without further ado, let's go ahead and look at some scriptures, okay? Let's go ahead and look at the Word. That's why you're here. And so today we're just going to be freestyling. So I want to start out with the Great Commission and what Christ has commanded us as the church as far as what we should do in our walk with him spiritually. If you kind of notice the teachings and how they've been going over the past few weeks since I've started, we cover salvation. We cover what you must do to be saved, which is called the plan of salvation, which is Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 9 and 10. They actually go through Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 9 through 15, or a little further throughout the chapter. That's the context, but just for, you know, to just to make it quick and easy, is verses 9 and 10. I believe every believer should know that. We should know if someone asks us, how do we become saved? I asked a group of teens this past week, you know, what should you do to become saved? Because I want to hear their thought. Because, again, as I stated before, you know, get into the kingdom of heaven. Salvation is not something that you're going to trip up on. It's not something that's just given, meaning that just because somebody prayed for you that you're going to get in. No, you have to acknowledge yourself on your own. You have to get rooted in the Word. You have to get rooted in the Holy Spirit in order for you to be saved. Okay, so it's just simple as confession and believing, but understand, you know, you have to understand what must you do to become saved. And some of the things that I have heard through the years amaze me from adults that have been in church all their lives, because this just goes to show you the types of things that we're seeing in the world today, that a lot of people are just going to church. You know, a lot of people are not, they don't understand what salvation is. Again, they're in church because it's the thing to do. It's a tradition. You know, my mom and dad took me to church when I was little. So, or maybe you marry someone who, that's their thing. They like to go to church. And so to keep peace in the home, you know, maybe you go to church as well. And so remember, this is not something that we're gonna accidentally fall into. You know, salvation in the kingdom of heaven is yours, but you must know how to acquire it. We've always heard the saying that knowledge is power, knowledge is key, which is very true. Knowledge is power, knowledge is key. And so we have to make sure that we understand salvation, because this just doesn't make any sense to me that we've been in church for years that we don't know what it takes to become saved. Okay, and you know, I'm gonna share this quick story. I don't know if I share it with you, but I struggled with that. My first 6 months of my salvation, I struggled with it. You know, I acknowledged him as my Lord and Savior, but I didn't understand what salvation was, and I thought that salvation was something that I had to do to get saved, or to be saved, actually. Which means that once I acknowledged, I had to keep my salvation. So I had to make sure I kept my mind clear and clean. I had to keep my mouth clean. And I had to keep my walk clean, my spiritual walk, and what I did clean. And I'm not saying that you don't have to, because Paul talks about that as well. But what I want to share with you is that, you know, a lot of times if you have to keep your salvation, you don't have salvation. That's not salvation. Okay, that's works. And we talked about that salvation is not through works, but it's through faith and believing. And so it's because of that, the Bible said that you're sealed. It's already taken care of. It's not something that you have to keep going back and doing again, because Christ died on the cross one time for you. So he took care of your salvation for all eternity. And so I just want to state that, because, again, my first 6 months was a struggle, until I talked to my brother in the ministry, and he kind of acknowledged some things to me, and also a friend of mine, and so kind of led me and guided me to read some books and study and do some research, and also kind of guided me as to what salvation really is. And so that made it a lot better, because, you know, I'm sitting here stressing and thinking, well, man, why am I having these thoughts if I'm supposed to be saved? Well, it doesn't mean that you're not saved because you have certain thoughts or certain lust. Okay, it doesn't mean that you're not saved. That just means that that's natural flesh. And Paul talks about that over in Romans, I believe it's the 7th chapter. He talks about that, about how we are sold into sin, how we are carnal, sold into sin, meaning that we are born in sin. He talks about that in Romans, the 7th chapter, verses 14 through 25. I encourage you to read that. Okay, he said that thing that I find myself not doing, you know, that, in other words, the thing that I hate, I find myself doing, meaning that he hates the sin, but yet he finds himself doing it. And then he loved the Lord. He loved walking with Christ and reading his word and studying the word, but sometimes he finds himself not doing it. That's pretty evident in the religious world, or the religion of believers. Sometimes we don't always find ourselves in our word like we should, or doing things as we should, but that's just a part of our walk. That's just who we are as far as humans, okay? So in other words, we're not perfect. So anyway, focusing on the Great Commission, in which Christ taught his disciples, 11 disciples, because remember, one of them had betrayed Christ, you know, and we talk, the Bible talks about that. But we're going to take a look at it real quick. Now, understand that this freestyle doesn't mean I'm not going to use scriptures. I use scriptures to show you evidence and proof. And while I may not get into any in-depth today, I'm just going to point out the scriptures to you. You can read and study them on your own time. Again, this kind of gives you something to do throughout the week. Plus, it's also an opportunity for you to pick up your Bible, okay? So I just want to take a look at some things real quick. And I just want to point out the Great Commission, which is Matthew, the 28th chapter, verses 16 through 20. Again, that's Matthew, the 28th chapter, verses 16 through 20. And this is what... after the crucifixion, after Christ has risen, he basically talks to his disciples, okay? He gives them a word, right? And it talks about how he has all power in heaven and earth was given to him, right? He has all authority, right? And so, you know, he is victory. And when you walk this life, you have the victory. I think it's such a beautiful thing to be believers. And I tell people all the time, you know, people are fearful because they don't know. They don't have the knowledge. They don't understand that this is not a time for us to be fearful. This is a joyous time for us. Understand that, you know, those who don't believe that are running the world, doing their thing, they're the ones that's stressed and worried over this time. We as believers, we're not stressed over this. We shouldn't be. For the word says he has not given us the spirit of fear. And in verse 19 of the 28th chapter of Matthew, he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, okay? And he says, teaching in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay, that's what I believe, okay? So if there's any question, I do believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You know, and it's because sometimes, you know, when you don't use God and Jesus, you know, people kind of question that. I said, well, it's not a question, you know, you just have to do your study and your research, okay, because he wasn't called God, okay, that's a substitute name, which I don't agree with, because, you know, in other words, let me give you an example. If my name is Tim, just because I go to any other continent on this planet, you can't call me what my name is in your language. You still have to call me by my name, the name that I was given at birth, because I'm not going to respond to anything else. My name is Tim or Timothy. That's what I respond to. And so I think it's only due and just that we call Yeshua, which is Christ's true name, by his actual name. It makes only sense because we always say there's what? Power in the name. So why not use his name? Now, again, to each his own, if you want to prefer to continue to use Jesus, I don't knock that, okay? So to each his own. But again, the main thing that we understand is the Great Commission, okay, is that we go forth and we teach, right? We teach the truth. And this is our focus as believers because so many times we see people compromising the truth because of family, friends, or because of money. And I've seen that throughout the years in church because we are so, you know, we're so cautious. It's like we walk on it. Well, they're so cautious. Let me say that. They're so cautious and walk on eggshells because of, you know, the congregation. You don't want to offend anyone. And so, you know, you'll deal with that a lot. You know, sometimes you'll deal with people, you know, questioning, you know, certain things that you may say according to the word. Maybe they don't want to hear a specific sermon or teaching in the church, you know. I remember my dad, you know, used to share things with me and not only that, but my mentors in ministry have shared to me times where people have come up to them in church and say, hey, you know, they want them to kind of change the word that they teach. Well, that's not what we're here for. We're not here to compromise. We're not here to necessarily make friends in that manner. We're here to teach the truth. And that's our call, is to teach the truth according to the word. Okay, and that's why I always tell people, don't always take my word for what you hear. Do your own study and research, which is why I provide to you scripture, so that you may go and do your own study and research. Because if there's any question, again, I just gave you my email address. Hey, feel free to reach out to me. You know, I've been doing this a long time, and I consider myself having thick skin at this moment. I feel like, you know, there's not anything that I can't deal with or anything that I can't really take on, because there's an answer. I'm not saying that I know everything, absolutely not, but I'm quite sure that we can always find the answer to a question. Like I always tell people in church, you know, ask any questions. You know, this is one thing I love about children. Children don't have any filter. Children will ask you questions directly, and I love it. Because they have no filter. You know, sometimes the parents are tired, quiet them. But Christ even said himself, suffer not little children, for such is the kingdom of God. You know, the disciples tried to basically rebuke the children. But Christ said, don't rebuke the children. This is what heaven is. Heaven is child. He said, if you don't humble yourself as a child, then you won't even enter into the kingdom of heaven. And so this is the mentality and the mindset that we have to have. We have to be humble, and we must tell the truth. Ephesians, I think it's the sixth chapter, maybe the fifth chapter. Ephesians, it talks about that. I can't remember. I think it's Ephesians, the fourth chapter, verse 15, where he talks about what we are to tell the truth and to speak the truth in love. And I just want to say this real quick because, you know, I hear so many things in ministry where people, again, you know, they walk on eggshells. And I understand sometimes, you know, as human beings, you know, you don't want to offend anyone. But, you know, the word is without apology. Okay. So you in fact, I tell people, if you're speaking the truth, then, hey, the party that you're speaking to really shouldn't be offended. Because anytime that I've been preached to in the word, like I tell people, if the word doesn't hit me first or doesn't hit me, I have no business teaching the word. And I used to say that a lot of time when I used to preach in churches because that's true. If I can't speak a word to myself, I have no business teaching and preaching to nobody else. Meaning that the word is going to hit me as well, okay, because I have to speak the truth, okay? There are times when I don't always do what I'm supposed to. Nobody is perfect, okay? But we have to tell the truth because that's what the Holy Spirit leads us to do, and that we shouldn't tiptoe away from the truth, or we shouldn't fray away from the truth. We ought to speak the truth. And this is what Christ is telling us, to teach the world about him and to teach the world about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so that's what we are to do, to teach, it says, unto the end of the world, okay? So he said that I am with you always. So he's going to, the Spirit of Yahweh is going to always be with us, okay? And so we don't have to be afraid in this walk. You know, we don't have to feel embarrassed or anything about our lifestyle, the way that we live. As I told you, we are in a victorious time because I really truthfully believe that that we are on the verge of something great. And as I share with you, the dispensation that we're in the church age, okay, because the Bible talks about several dispensations, and one day I'll cover that in a study. And I'm also considering starting a Bible study, which is probably going to be, I'll let you know how I'm going to do it, because I have other social media sites that I can also teach Bible study on, like on a Wednesday night, I can do Bible study. And so I'm very interested in that. So if you're interested in that, please let me know. But for the most part, you know, I would like to talk about the dispensations. But right now we are in the church age, which means this is one of the mysteries that we don't know when Christ is going to return. And so there's been a lot of things going on in the world, a lot of talk, a lot of things have been acknowledged. A lot of people's eyes have been open to what's going on in the world. I believe that the children of Israel are waking up, okay? And a lot of people believe that the children of Israel reside in the place that they call Israel, which is not true, okay? And you do your study and your research, you'll find out that the children of Israel reside right here in what's called America, which is Babylon, the new Babylon, America, okay? And a lot of times people don't like the truth, okay? I tell you, people say they want the truth. You know, there's an old saying, I can't remember that movie that it was, but the guy said, you can't handle the truth. And that's a very true thing. A lot of people can't handle the truth. Okay, but that's our job, is to speak the truth, okay? And so just a few things I want to point out real quick. I want to share a scripture. Like I said, I won't go too in-depth on these scriptures, but I must share them with you, okay? And I kind of talked about the Great Commission of Christ and what he commands us to do. So after our salvation, that's what we do. Once we get saved, our salvation is taken care of. Once you acknowledge, confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you're saved for all eternity. Now what you need to do is study and read your Bible, pray, read your Bible daily, get into your word, and share it with someone. Share it with family. Share it with friends. It doesn't matter if they want to hear you or not. Christ said they're not going to hear me. What makes you think they're going to want to hear you? But that's not our job. I remember one time I was witnessing to this one guy, because I witnessed to anybody. You know, I've witnessed to those who you know, who don't believe, people who are atheists, people who believe in the Big Bang Theory, people who got high education, doctorate degrees, master's degrees, people who have no education. I ministered and witnessed to rich people. And I remember this one guy I witnessed to, and he had the nerve to say, after I witnessed to him, well, you hadn't convinced me of anything. And I told him, I said, well, my job is not to convince you. My job is to simply to tell you the truth. It's up to you what you do with the word, because these things are going to be brought back up. And hopefully this individual got saved. You know, and I tell you, it doesn't matter if it's through me or whatever, but receive salvation. Okay, if it's through this teaching but the main thing is that you receive your Heavenly Father before it's too late. Because if not, these things are going to come before them again at judgment. When they stand before the great white throne of judgment before Christ and his heavenly Father and all the saints and all the angels to be judged, they're going to give an account. They're going to bring this thing up. And you know, I kind of make a joke about this when I used to teach in church. You know, I just joke about this, that he's going to pull it up on his gigantic high-definition screen. He's going to show you your past life, and he's going to show you these things. And I joke about that. I know the Bible doesn't say that, but I kind of joke that, you know, you're going to see. He's going to bring these things up, and it's going to be vivid to you. It's not like it's not going to be clear. It's going to be vivid. He's going to bring up every sin that they have ever done. And we're going to talk about that in the next teaching. In fact, I'm glad that I mentioned that. The next lesson is going to be about the judgments, okay? What take place, because the Bible talks about the judgment of the saints, of the believers and the non-believers. And people think that we're going to all be judged at the same time. We're not. We're going to be judged at separate times, okay? In fact, our judgment, according to the word, is not unto condemnation. It's unto rewards, where those who don't believe, their judgment is going to be to what? Condemnation. Okay? And so, again, there's some things I want to share with you. So let's go ahead and kind of look at some more scriptures and verses. I want to share just a few of them, which I do want to share this with you. I think it's very important that we take a look at this one, which is coming from Revelation, the 20th chapter, and verse 12. And I'm going to get into this more detail next week, the context of the final judgment. So understand who's being judged here. And then again, Revelation, the 20th chapter, verse 12, it says, "And I saw the dead." Okay? So John said he saw the dead. This is John speaking. Who did he see? He saw the dead, not the living. So the dead are who? The non-believers. The living are who? The believers. So we've already been judged and been rewarded. Okay, so we're not being judged at this moment. The Bible said that he saw small and great. What does that mean when John said, "I saw small and great"? In other words, all the non-believers, whatever their range is, whatever race they may be, however much money they may have had, whatever the statuses may have been, he said, "I saw them all, small and great. Stand before God," okay? Stand before who? Yahweh, our Heavenly Father. Now watch what John says. He said, "And the books were open." Notice he didn't say book. He said books, okay? Now, I have my spiritual interpretation what these books are, okay? And I'll share them with you, okay? This is what I believe. It doesn't say this, but this is what I believe, that you're going to be judged on these books, okay? There are three things that are evident that we're going to be judged on, okay? We're going to be judged on every thought, every word, and every deed, meaning everything that you do physically, okay? So can you imagine being judged for every thought? I can't imagine that. You know, they say that we have so many different thoughts throughout the day. I think it's impossible, but scientists say we have like 40,000 thoughts in a day. I think that's, I don't know. And maybe it is true. Maybe we got so much going on in our mind, but that's how it's going to show you how powerful of a creation that we are, and how great your mind is. You know, we have so many thoughts going through our mind, and can you imagine being judged on every thought if it was not a good spiritual thought? So every evil thought that non-believers think, because remember, those who believe, we won't be judged on these things. Again, our judgment is not unto condemnation. That's over in Romans 8:1. We're not judged unto our condemnation. We are judged unto rewards, the good things that we do. But they're going to be judged on the evil things that they do. So they're going to have to give an account for all these things, every thought. Every word. Can you imagine every word that you said? We have thought and said and done some pretty shameful things. And it doesn't take rocket scientists to know that each and every one of us have done shameful things in our lives. You know, we have all done things that we're not proud of, We've said some things that we're not proud of about other people. We've done some things to people that we're not proud of. We've also thought some things about people that we're not proud of. You know, like I said, our thoughts seem to be the most. And so imagine, even though you didn't do it physically, you was thinking it, okay? And so that's a sin. And so you're going to have to give an account of all these things. Again, so he says, and then watch this, he says, "And another book was opened," which is the book of life, okay? "And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works." So he's going to look and see if your name is written in the book of life. If you didn't believe, see, and I guess one thing that I love about the Bible and our Heavenly Father, He does all things decent and in order, meaning He's not going to miss anything. So anything and everything that people out here doing that you think that they're getting away with, they're not getting away with it. You know, I've heard people say, well, what about these people who, you know, they go to court and because they got money, they get off with evil things. They're not getting away. All these people who are doing evil things, I don't care, all the way from government all the way down to the poor people on the streets. I don't care if you're a judge and you're unrightly judging people. I don't care if you're an officer and you're unrightly, you know, doing things lawfully. I don't care if you're an attorney, if you're doing things dirty. I don't care if you're an accountant. It doesn't matter who you are in this life. If you're doing things and you're thinking you're getting away with it, you can be a pastor, you can be a preacher, you can be a deacon, it doesn't matter who you are. If you're doing things and your sins are not being forgiven, meaning that you're not a believer and you're not changing your ways and you're not living for Christ and you know, just treating people the way that you should treat them, and you're just living an evil life thinking you're going to get away, all these things are going to be brought up. And you're going to stand before the great white throne of judgment to be judged before our Heavenly Father, and His Son is going to judge you. Now, you may ask, and I don't want to get too much. In fact, I'm just going to say this for next week because I'm going to actually teach more on what happens in judgment, because we talked about salvation. We talked about love. You know, we're talking about the Great Commission, what we should do. We also talked about loving one another. I'm talking about spiritual love, okay? This is unconditioned love, meaning that you can hate me and I still love you. This is the type of love that we are to display, the type of love that we are supposed to have as believers, okay? Very important, okay? So again, you know, these things, they're going to be judged from. It says according to what? Their works, okay? These are their works, the thoughts, everything that they say, and everything that you do. These are your works. And He's going to look at these books and He's going to judge you. He's not going to miss a thing. And, you know, Christ is going to be the great judge. And I showed you over in the Great Commission, Matthew, the 28th chapter, verse 19, verses 16 through 20, how He has all power in His hand. He has power to judge you now. Okay? This is going to be a very powerful thing. And I tell people all the time, you know, hey, if you're listening to the sound of my voice and you don't know if you're saved or not, let me help you out, okay, so that you can miss this final judgment of the dead, okay, so you won't be there being judged. Let me help you to miss that. The Bible says in Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 9 and 10, thou shalt confess with your mouth and believe in thy heart that Christ, you know, was raised from the dead, and that Yahweh raised Him from the dead, that He's the Son of the most living high God, then you shall be saved. It's just that plain and simple. And again, I tell you, you know, I've been in church all my life, and people will make it a thing to become saved. I've always been taught that. And we should not teach that, because really that's not the truth, number one. And you discourage people from salvation because they don't know if they're confused. They don't know if they're saved or not. So you shouldn't teach that. Salvation is free, okay? You don't have to pay for it. Christ paid the price for salvation, okay? When He went to the cross, He died on the cross. He suffered, bled, and died. And a lot of people take that story to be a joke. But I tell you one thing, I pray for their soul, you know, if they get it right before they leave, because it's not going. This here is real, okay? And so I just want to share this with you, this context of Revelation, the 20th chapter, verse 12, because these are things that are going to come, and we have to give an account, you know, with those that don't believe, going to have to give an account. And so you don't want to be on that side, okay? You want to be on the winning side. So again, as believers, this is a joyous time. And you know, I think so often of Christ's return. I think of Him coming back to get to church. And so, you know, when I was in school, they always taught us to basically, you know, it's kind of like you look at things in parallels, like I was teaching last week, you know. We say, well, how do you interpret the Bible? A lot of times you look for, you know, you look in the Old Testament, you compare it with the New Testament. And so what I mean by that, we look at Exodus, okay, and we think about the children of Israel and how Moses, when he was born, it was ordained for him to deliver the children of Israel. So that's why he was saved. So if you remember Moses, if you remember the story of Moses when they was going to, when they had murdered off the Hebrew boys, they were murdering them off. They were feeding them to alligators, and they was he had escaped. Moses' mother had put him into like a little baby crib type thing and set him on the water. you know, and set him off, you know, basically like to protect him from being killed. And so through Yahweh and the Holy Spirit, he was saved, right? He was saved, which means Pharaoh's daughter found him and kept the child. Okay, she kept the Israelite child's her own. She said, "Hey, I got a baby." And so that was just a blessing because, you know, for that to be in her heart to keep the child, because she could have been evil and say, "Well, now let me take this child to my father, or let me feed him, you know, let them do what they're supposed to do to these children." She said, "No, I'm going to keep this child." So that was a blessing. That was her protection. And so you think about that and you compare that to Yeshua. Okay, when Christ, when he was born, you remember Herod was trying to murder off all the children. I think it was the firstborn. They were just trying to murder off the certain children that they believed to be born in a certain time frame. They were trying to murder them and kill them all because they were looking for Christ. They wanted to stop the Messiah from coming. But same situation. He went, his mother and his father fled into Egypt. Okay, they was able to survive this. This is highly important, okay, to our salvation. And so I said that to say this, that the children of Israel suffered 400 years of slavery in Egypt, okay? Now, let me show you something, a parallel at this day and time that's been revealed to us, which probably was known to some but not to many, but now most are coming into the truth. Look at slavery, the parallel of slavery in this country and in America, and we'll talk about this another day and time because it talks about over in Deuteronomy, the chapters and scriptures over in Deuteronomy about basically our ancestors and how they were enslaved, and no other nation of people on the face of this planet has faced the suffering that our foreparents have faced. And if you know, we've always been taught as kids to always be into Black history, to learn our history, learn about who we are and what we are. And in learning that, we learned a lot of things, a lot of suffering that our people went through from the time that they was taken out of the country and brought here over the course of the 400 years of the slave ships. And not only that, just the suffering, all the suffering, the studying, research, even as an adult, I don't do as much studying about Black history as I used to, but in the past, you know, when I was very much into it back in the 90s, you know, I did study and research, and it was just very interesting, the things that our people have suffered. When you look at the parallels and say, wait a minute, the 400 years are up now, okay? So now watch this. I'm going to show you something that was revealed to me in Scripture that Paul wrote. So we're going to go over to 1 Corinthians. I tell you, I got to share Scriptures with you because that's the best way that I can teach. And while I won't get too in-depth, I just want to show it to you. And you can do your own study and research. Go to 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, verses 1 through 13 is the context of this. And I'm showing you this because I tell you, I believe that, and I don't believe, I know that we're in the next 2,000 years that something great, we're upon something great is about to happen, whether it be right now, tomorrow, even if it's the next 100 years from now, we don't really get to live and see it. But these are things that you can share with your children, okay? This is very important, highly important information, okay? So think about this. Remember I gave you the reference, the parallel to Moses and Christ and the children of Israel during the time of Pharaoh in Egypt. And now we see right here in America how the children of Israel are in a type of Egypt situation or Egyptian situation, okay? Now you think about when Moses delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt, okay? And you'll see the same things that are going on now, okay? Now watch this. I'm going to read it. It just makes more sense to read it. Verse 1 of chapter 10 says, "Moreover, brethren," who is Paul talking to? He's talking to the saints. "I would not have you, I would not that ye should be ignorant, how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea." Okay? And so what Paul is simply saying to the saints now, that I want you to know, when he says I want you to be ignorant, I want you to be knowledgeable. And that's what I would, that's how I am. I want you to know the word. It's for you to know. I want you to know the truth. Paul said how all of our fathers, he didn't say some, he said all of our fathers, okay, were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. What does that mean, okay? That all the children of Israel left Egypt, Okay? So basically, it is believed that not a one stayed. All of them were delivered, okay? And I believe the same thing is going to happen at this day and time. All the children of the Most High, because the Bible said that Yahweh is not through with, he's not through with Israel. We're going to all be delivered, right? And he said that in verse 2, and we're all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Now, that word baptized means what? To be identified with. Okay. In other words, they were all identified with who? Moses, meaning that because they were with Moses. Okay. What happened? He delivered them. Okay. Because of the power of the Holy Spirit in Yahweh. Now watch verse 3. It says, and did all eat the same spiritual meat. Notice it says spiritual meat. Okay. So we look at the spiritual meat as what? The word. Okay. Now, in a sense, the word, I'm just giving you today's, but here in the scripture, it's talking about what they ate. What was the spiritual meat for the children of Israel at that time when they was passing through, when they was being delivered out of Egypt, okay? The spiritual meat was the manna, right? And it says in verse 4, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, which was the water from the rock that Moses had struck. Remember that? And so basically Yahweh took care of their needs. And a lot of time at this day and time, we think that our needs are not met because we are raised up in a nation that tells us what all we should desire, okay? When actually we have all that we need. But a lot of times we get so beside ourselves and we chase the things that the world tells us. And what I'm saying to you is, you think about this. We are so bombarded with wanting to be rich and wanting to be wealthy that we hear so much all the time. And that's all we see. I mean, I can't even get on social media without someone popping up on my feed about how you can make money doing this and make money. Those are distractions. This is what Lucifer is. This is part of his plan to distract you from you seeking the Heavenly Father, one, and for two, seeking spiritual things. We're so caught up into what the world has to offer. The Bible said, for what profit a man to gain the whole world and to lose his own soul? You're being tricked, okay? You're being fooled by these commercials and things that Babylon is showing you on a day-to-day basis, okay? You're being bombarded with distractions is all it is. I'm just going to say that, with distractions. To say, hey, look over here. Hey, look over here. Hey, look, you know, all these distractions. When all we have to do is just keep our eye on him, right? Keep our eyes on salvation, on the word, you know, living the word, teaching the word, studying the word, preaching the word. That's our focus, because only what you do for Christ shall last. It doesn't matter how much money you have in your bank account. That's not going to get you into the kingdom of heaven. It doesn't matter how many friends you have or how many accolades you have or how many degrees you have or how smart. I mean, you know, I'm telling you, in witnessing to people, you'll be shocked and surprised some of the foolish things that I hear people say. People are so caught up and so stuck on themselves that they don't even know. They can't even see. And the Bible talks about this. It talks about these things. And like I said, there are so many scriptures that I can share with you. But today I just want to just talk to you today and just freestyle, which I didn't want to bombard you with a lot of scriptures today. But I just want to just share these things with you, because I know I can show it to you in word and in scripture. But I just want to talk to you today about these things. And so going back to 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, verse 5, it says, but with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, we know that everyone, let me show you an example, a contrast. Everyone that go to church ain't saved, okay? This is what the Bible is saying. See, when it talks about the spiritual meat and the spiritual drink, again, the contrast is the word of Yahweh. Everyone that goes into the church and hears, there are people right now that can hear my sound of my voice and hear me teaching about salvation, how simple salvation is, but still yet would choose not to get saved, which is mesmerizing. I'm telling you, I've taught for many years, and I have children that are now in their early 20s, and some of them a little older, that I've taught this message to, and they got it. They understand. They understood it then when they were children. I teach young people now. They understand it now. But what's mesmerizing to me the most is how a full-grown adult can't understand the true, simple word, okay? And that's not boasting or bragging. That's just the truth. If I teach you that all you got to do to be saved is just simply Romans 10:9-10, that's it. Why are you going to complicate things and make it harder than what it is? Why all of a sudden you want to make it like you got to go get a doctrine degree just to be saved? The Bible never said that. See, it's man that makes things difficult. Yahweh keeps things simple, and that's what I love about my Heavenly Father. He keeps it simple. He said, you know what? I know you can't do it, so I'm going to send my son because he can do it. I know you can't do it because if I leave it up to you, you're going to fail me just like Adam and Eve did in the garden. So he didn't leave it up to us. He sent his only begotten son to save us. That's the whole purpose of sending a rescue team is to save you because you can't rescue, you can't save yourself. And that's why Christ was sent to save you from what sin, to save you from an everlasting destruction in the pits of hell and in the lake of fire for all eternity because you can't do it. See, if you could do it, if it was that, he would just let it, he would have never sent his son. And it just sometimes just bothers me sometimes when pastors and ministers teach that wrong message. I've heard it for years. It's like, but I can't believe you teaching people that. You got people's souls that you got to give an account for one day, and this is what you're teaching them? You can't teach people that. You got to teach people the truth, and this is the word. And this is what Paul is simply saying. Now he says in verse 5 that many of them but with many of them he was not well pleased. Okay, for they were what? Overthrown in the wilderness. In other words, they were lost. So yet, even though all the children of Israel were delivered out of what? Egypt, some of them still complain. They still groan. They had got mad at Moses and Aaron. Can you imagine? They got mad at Moses and Aaron for delivering them from slavery. And some of them had the nerve to speak out of their mouth. They want to go back. What in the world? Why would you want to go back to somebody who hates you, has been torturing you, but you want to go back? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. So what I'm saying to you, there are people who hear the word in church, deliverance is right there before, but Yahweh is not pleased with them. They won't come to Wednesday night Bible study. They won't study the Bible. They won't make it to Sunday school. They got every excuse in the world that they can't make it to, but yet they at home watching all kind of housewives shows and series, TV series and movies and just wasting time on social media. But Yahweh is not pleased with that. So as you can see, they were what? Overthrown in the wilderness. We see the exact same thing happening then as we do now. Verse 6 says, now these things were our examples. Exactly. They were our examples. It says, to the intent we should not lust after what? Evil things. People are still lusting after evil things. And I'm not trying to say having a lot of money is evil because the Bible says the love of money is the root to all evil. But so many people have an evil desire that when they get the money, you know, they don't have no good intent to help nobody or bless nobody with it. They just want to do them. See, that's an evil intent, okay? So we have to be very careful when you're lusting after worldly things because, again, that's what comes with it. It says, as they also lusted, okay? We see the exact same thing now. Verse 7 says, neither be ye idolaters. In other words, don't worship idle things, as were some of them, as it was written. It says, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. It's the same thing now. People go to church, they hear the word, they act like they ain't heard no word. They go back to doing what they do. They go back out in the world and start playing games, doing evil things, just in church, just playing. And you can see right here, if you remember when Moses delivered the children, they groaned, complained, and as soon as Moses got out of the sight, what they do? My goodness. What they do? They built a gold. They took the jewelry off, whatever they had. Remember, there were some Egyptian people that went with them, too. They had earrings. They made them a golden image. Soon as Moses left them, Moses said, I'll be right back. Moses wasn't going long. As soon as Moses left, they couldn't wait. But you have people like that even now in church. This is why you see so many people doing so many worldly circular-like things in the church. Okay? This is why, because they really don't have no intent to be to walk in the spirit. They just there. It's just a show to them. It's just something to do. Okay? And so verse 8 says, neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. That is amazing. Can you imagine that the parallel scripture to that is over in I think it's Exodus, the 17th chapter, verses 2, I think, 2 and 7. There's a parallel verse that over in Exodus that talks about this actually took place. Can you imagine the people just going out to commit fornication and just 23, 24? Now, the other scripture says 24,000. This one says 23,000. But can you imagine 23 to 24,000 people just instantly dying in one day? That would blow your mind. It's like, wow. Yahweh has the power. This is why the Bible says that people play. You know, we have to be careful about the decision that we make because it can really cost us our lives. That's very true. Okay? So we just have to be very careful and be mindful of what we do. Okay? Verse 9 talks about neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of what? Serpents. Okay? So what does the scripture mean when it says tempt Christ? In other words, though you hear the word, though you go to church, though you're a believer, don't get out here hanging with non-believers, okay? Be very careful who you associate yourself with, because it can cost you your life. We have to be very mindful. I tell people, you know, I remember when I first got saved, I left a lot of my friends. I remember one of my friends saying in specific, he said, man, when you got into church, you just left us. You didn't hang with us no more. You didn't go with us no more. And, you know, when he said that, I didn't really think about it. I said, wow, you know what? You're really right. I just really just dropped all worldly things, just cut all friends off. And it wasn't intentional, and it wasn't to be mean. It wasn't to think that I was better than them. It was just because I was delivered from certain things, and those things I didn't want to be associated with because I know it would make me weak. It wasn't good for me spiritually. And so I had to disassociate myself because I know if I go hang with them and say, man, let's go over here, let's go do this, let's go have fun, you know. And it's easy to do. It's easy to get caught up and think in your mind, oh, it ain't going to hurt me to go to the bar. Oh, it's not going to hurt me to go hang out and go do this. And so those type of things, you know, the Bible, you know, he gives you a way of escape, okay? And so a lot of times we have to make a choice. And I'm not going to say this is always easy, but as you believe and as you try to keep yourself, it becomes easier and you no longer have a desire to do certain things. It becomes easier. It's not easy. It just becomes easier. But it's a battle. You know, the Bible talks about that. I'm going to talk about how the war is not against flesh. The war is in the spirit. Okay, we have to understand these things. Okay, so we're going to move on. Verse 10 says, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. So we have to be very careful not to murmur and complain about our situation. A lot of us are in very blessed situation. You know, I've been guilty in the past of complaining. Sometimes, you know, I want more of certain things. But, you know, there's something, but, you know, the Holy Spirit came and said, you look at yourself. You are more blessed than probably more than 50 or 80% of the world, especially us in this country and in America. We are so blessed in this country that if we were to compare ourselves the way people live in other countries, we are rich. We are like beyond rich. And I wonder why this gentleman has said to me one time, he's from a third world country, he said I was rich. I'm like, what do you mean I'm rich? And I'm thinking multi-millionaire rich. But no, what he was saying is compared to where he came from, we eat good every day. Most of us don't even miss a meal every day. We eat every day. We're entertained. We dress nice or at least decent. You know, we have good jobs. We have jobs. We can feed our family. We don't know how blessed and fortunate we are in this country, yet we complain all the time about some of the things that we have. We don't know how blessed and fortunate we are. And so we shouldn't be those types of people, okay? And so looking at verse 11, it says, now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our what? Admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. We see these things right now at this day and time. We are on the brink of Christ's return. I really believe that. It is time to get it right. And as Paul said in the scripture, as some what? Rose up to play. Okay? In other words, don't just hear the word. Don't just hear the word that I'm preaching and teaching and say, oh, well, tonight I'm going to go party and have fun. You know, there should be a change. There should be a willingness to change, especially knowing the things that are coming. This is a joyful time for the saints. We should not be distressed. We should not be down. This is a joyful time because we look for Christ's return to come back to get the church. It's going to be a beautiful time. When he comes, when those horns blow, and Michael the archangel shout, and all the dead in Christ shall rise. That is a Paul said, comfort one another, brethren, with these words. We are to comfort one another. No, this is a joyful time for us. Okay, when that sky breaks open, When that sky cracks open, the heavens open up, and we see him, man, it's going to be beautiful. When we see Christ, all is going to be beautiful. It's going to be, we're going to be so mind blown when this happens. It's going to be a beautiful thing, okay? And then it talks about verse 12. It says, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. So in other words, you know, sometimes we, you know, we kind of get beside ourselves and our thinking thing. We know it all. We can't nobody tell us nothing, you know. I've been that way before in the past. And sometimes the Bible says you have to be careful, okay, and you could fall, okay. And definitely don't judge nobody. Don't look down on anybody, okay. So we don't want to do it. We just want to be mindful. And remember, we want to be humble in the spirit in our walk with Christ, okay? It says, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Verse 13 says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. In other words, he's not going to put nothing on you more than you can bear. In other words, there ain't no temptation that's going to be out of this world. It's not, in other words, you know, the Bible says nothing new under the sun. You know, other people have been tempted, and you can overcome those temptations, right? It says, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. In other words, he'll give you the strength to overcome any temptation, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape. I just said that ye may be able to bear it. Okay? So there you have it. You know, we are in a very blessed time, and I want to share some things with you real quick because I think they're very prevalent to me getting ready to teach you about the judgments that are coming to those who believe and the judgments that are coming to those who don't believe. And also, we're going to get into that next study next week, teachings. We're going to talk about that next Saturday. But before I do, I want to share some things to you which I believe makes sense to you because, again, you know, as a minister of Yahweh and of the true word of God, the Most High, you know, we got to teach the truth, okay? And truth is truth. And I tell people, you know, a lot of times people want to fray away from the truth. They want to compromise. They want to act like certain things don't go on in this life. There are so many things that we have to confront, okay? Because if I say that I'm a minister of the Most High, I must speak the truth. That is the conviction of me spiritually and the conviction of my spirit to tell the truth. Okay, and I tell people all the time, you know, it doesn't matter who it offends, we have to tell the truth because we're not out here making friends. If you know all the great prophets in the past, even Christ, they were hated, okay? And that's just how it is. We're not popular people, okay? The world basically hates us because, why? We teach the world about the evil things that they do and the world don't want to hear, and you see that more prevalent more than any time. The world's making so much mockery of the church and so much mockery of the people of Christ that it's just so mind-blowing because that's just the evil of the world. The world wants to continue to do, and I'll be one of the first to admit I was once that way. You remember when Paul said I was the chief of sinners? He said I was number one on the totem pole when it came to sin. And so, you know, hey, when I was in the world, I didn't want to hear it, even though I was raised in the church. And so remember, I said, you're not going to accidentally go into church. Just because my dad was a pastor, my mom was in church, and she played the piano. And my grandmother, everybody in my family was always in church. That didn't mean that I was automatically saved. I had to make a conscious decision, a conscious choice myself to become saved and to accept salvation myself. You're not going to accidentally fall into this thing. It's a choice that we must all make, okay? And so with that being said, you know, we have a moral and also a spiritual responsibility to teach the truth. And so what I want to share with you real quick, we're going to go over to Genesis, the first chapter, verse 26. And so this is part of our walk, okay? And again, as I taught you about the children of Israel, and I said earlier about in Scripture how in the parallels to the children of Israel, how we believe that right now in America is still the remnant of the children of Israel, of Yahweh, right here in America, okay, which is, you know, people call it the black man, the African-American man, or black people, or I say melanated people, okay, and this is the truth, okay, and so we believe that we are the chosen people of Yahweh because of what it says over in Deuteronomy, okay, this is the truth. Here's the thing, you know, there's an old saying, seek and you shall find. It says it over in Matthew's, 7th chapter, verse 7, seeking you shall find. And so that's what we are to do. You know, seek out the truth, okay? That's our job. If you find the truth wants to be found. I truthfully believe that. And in researching over the past 20-plus years about, you know, just ministry and about who we are as a people, these are the truths. And I tell people all the time, if you are a true believer, if you truly love Yahweh and his son, you are not offended by what I say or about what I'm about to say, okay? And that's just the truth of things. If you are a true believer, see, what I've learned is that evil people hate the truth, and that is the truth. Only evil people hate the truth. True believers, we don't fray away from the truth. We've accepted so many things that we've been lied to over the years about the Bible, about spiritualism. Well, not spiritualism, spirituality in the Word, okay? Because so many things, but we have to dig deep, okay, to find things, to learn things about who we are. So let me share something with you real quick, and this is going to be an explanation as to why I'm just going to say these things and look at these verses in the Bible, and it's going to be prevalent because when I get into Revelation, you'll understand more when I go into further teachings. Why am I saying what I'm about to say? Okay, because it's going to be prevalent to the day and time that we live in. Okay, when I was in school, I remember my senior year in high school. And I'm going to be brief with the story. I asked our history teacher because she was teaching on slavery and how, you know, the subject kind of got a little testy to me because, again, as I told you before, I was raised by my parents for us to learn about our history and about who we are and to learn about the inventions and things that we've done as a people. And so, you know, she was going on, and most of us know about history when they teach about slavery. It's not an easy subject to sit through. So it kind of got a little discomforting because the only thing that I was hearing out of her mouth was just negative things about us as black people. Now, do understand at this time, this is way back in the day. So back then, you know, most of us, at least in my time, we went to predominantly black schools back then. So it was just a little uncomfortable. So I asked the teacher, I said, well, where do we come from as a people? And my question was basically what I was asking. It was just a general question, but what I meant by my question was, well, you're teaching us that we were slaves, and that's all we hear, but where do we come from? In other words, before slavery, where did we come from? Who were we? Because I believe we are more than just what you're teaching in this classroom. And her response directly was, you were slaves, and you came from Africa, and, you know, basically just a little dry, you know, just to be blunt, you know, you were slaves, you know, you came from huts and, you know, basically, you know, it wasn't that graphic, but, you know, just a small explanation, you know, you were slaves and that was just it, you know? And so with that being said, you know, that kind of left me, it left my answer unfulfilled and it left a very uncomfortable feeling. I was like, wow. Okay. I didn't like that answer. I just said, well, and the reason I didn't like that answer because I look at us as a people. Now, mind you, I'm in high school. I only know so much about the Bible as far as what my dad taught. Also, I didn't study about black history as thoroughly until a few years later. I definitely didn't know much about the Bible, again, only what my dad taught us. And I also remember this question I asked my dad when I was a little kid. I asked him, I said, why is everybody in our Sunday school books white? Why is there no black people? You know, kids ask these questions. These are legit questions. These are not harmful questions. These are not racially motivated in an evil intent question. These are good questions, valid questions. If black people are around today, why only people in the Bible are white? And I asked him that question, and he said, well, son, that's just the way it is. And he taught me this story about how when Noah had three sons, and one of Noah's sons, Canaan, was to be black. And that was just the mind-blowing thing that I heard. I was like, what? He was cursed to be black. But years later, I did research, and I found that wasn't true. And so, you know, and to much to his acclaim, you know, you have to understand that he came from an era and a time that where education, you know, they didn't have much education at the time. My dad was an older gentleman when, you know, him and my mom had me. And so he came from an era where, you know, education wasn't much. So they just taught based on the spirit. And so, again, to much of his acclaim, let me say this. The Holy Spirit is the best and the greatest teacher that any university or school can teach you. That's facts. But we do understand with limited education in that time that he came out of, you know, he was limited. And so I understand his answer or why he may have just accepted that answer from the time that he came out of. But my time, we're more educated. We have more access to information. And so me not accepting that answer said, well, let me dig deep. I didn't accept the answer my dad gave me, nor did I accept the answer that my history teacher gave me. Again, her answer just kind of bothered me. So I began to do some research about who we are as a people and where we come from. And I actually came to learn right out of high school, because I did some studying, some research, that really shocked me. Again, if you read books, go to the library and read books, you'll be shocked to find out what you'll find. You'll find books. There are books out there. And one day I'm going to share these books with you so you can actually write them down and study them. Do your own research, okay? I highly encourage education. I encourage self-education as well as, education, okay, whether it be from an institution, okay? But I've come to find out that your own personal education and research will take you much further than any institutional education. Now, this is what I found out in my study and research, and I'll be brief with this because I'm going to go into some more scriptures that I'm going to get ready to close out. I had learned through my own study and research that the people of ancient Egypt were black Africans. Yes, black Africans. And you may say, well, why is he saying all this? Why is this all prevalent? You'll be shocked and surprised that all this has more relevance in the Bible than what you believe and what you can even imagine. It's very important that you know this, because, again, our job is to tell the truth, not lies, okay? Because where you see lies, Christ said the father of lies is who? Lucifer. So you follow the trail. You do the math. If someone lies about something, what is their intent? Because Lucifer is behind all lies. So if you're lying about something, even if it's something that most people want to make as simple as the color of Christ, if you're lying about that, what is your intent? My question is, what are you hiding when you begin to lie? And so we have to call out these lies, and that's our job, especially as a called man of Yahweh, is to tell the truth and not to lie to our children, our people. It doesn't matter what race, creed, or color you are. You shouldn't lie. You should be truthful. And like I say, I'm not here to be popular, because that's not our job, is to be popular. My job is to tell the truth, and that's my mission, is to tell the truth, and that's just what it is. So I'm saying that to simply say this. I felt the children of Israel were also black people, okay? You'll find the relevance in that when you do research, okay? And I'll share this we'll get more in depth in that, but I want to get back to the scriptures and show you something, okay? Because a lot of times what people don't understand is this whole game of race and colorism was started by Lucifer to begin with, because back in ancient time, people didn't look at each other as race. They looked at each other as a culture, meaning that the language that you may have the language that you speak and the way that you dress. And so let me kind of give you an example, okay, of that. So let's take music genres as an example. If a person said they listen to rap and a person listens to country music, that's their culture, okay? That's their culture. Okay, so that's what people looked at back then. That's the language that they spoke, the way they dressed, the way they carried themselves. That's how people identify one another. It wasn't so much about colorism. This is an evil thing from Lucifer that's been played on mankind to pin men against one another and to pin people against one another even more so at this day and time. It's a wicked game. And I told you that over in Ephesians. Let me see if I can find that scripture. I believe it's Ephesians, the 6th chapter. I have to read this verse to you, because this verse is so important. And this verse is so direct, and it lets you know what we're dealing with this day and time. It's Ephesians, I believe it's the 6th chapter, if I can find it. The book of Ephesians, I can't remember what verse it is, but it's Ephesians, the 6th chapter. This is bothering me, too, because we didn't plan on using this scripture, so I didn't have it marked as a tab. There we go. Ephesians, the 6th chapter, and it is going to be verse 12. It says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I said that to say this. This is not a natural game that's being played. This is a spiritual thing on a spiritual level. So again, when we see racism and evil in the world and people hating you because of a color or whatever, this is a game that Lucifer is, he's put this spin out there. He's done this, okay? This is where racism and evil and hatred has come from. And the push of it is an evil satanic movement is exactly what it is. Hey, we have to call it what it is, and this is why we see the things that are going on in the world, because we can't turn a blind eye. I remember here in Dallas when the situation happened with this lady cop when she killed this this melanated guy or black guy, whatever you want to call him. And, you know, the ministers and pastors call out the other brethren who were not melanated or who were of another color, race, and said, you know, if they were white, and they said, well, why aren't you guys in an uproar like we are? That was a fair question, which, you know what, most people don't even take the time to really even think about that. That's true. Why aren't you in an uproar? And we know that there are so many different things going on in the world when we talk about where there's black-on-black crime. We understand that, and we all should be in uproar when any type of evil is going on in the world, whether it be a mother being battered, whether it be children being kidnapped, whatever the situation is. We as believers, as the church, should be in the uproar. But there are so many questions that are being that go unanswered. Why? Because, again, we wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood, but what? Principalities of what? Evil spirits is what we're dealing with. We're dealing with so many evil and so much evil in this world that it is our job to take a look at it and to analyze and say, hey, we need to come together and find a solution. And the only solution that I can think of is believing in the Most High and His Son. That's the only solution that I can think of. That's the start of it all, is that we have to start believing, first of all, and then love has to also be at the very forefront of the equation to help eliminate, maybe not all, because we know that right now Lucifer rules this world. We're not going to eliminate all, but we can eliminate some of the evils that we're seeing going on in the world if we call to the forefront and not and quit stepping, you know, standing in the background, acting like it's not going on. And that's why I was saying to call that out. But I want to call your attention back over to Genesis, the first chapter. Let me go back, verse 26. And you'll see that going forward, got so many books right here in front of me. You'll see the relevance of this, why I'm calling this out in the future when we get into Revelation and other teachings. And so going over to Genesis, the first chapter, verse 26, it says, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have the dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air. Okay, I'm just going to stop there. You can read the rest on your own. Okay, and so when Yahweh created man, he made man in his image. Okay, and so when he made man in his image, okay, people ask the question, does this mean, I've had kids to ask me this, does this mean that Yahweh looks like me? I've even had adults ask me this question. Do men look like Yahweh? We are after his likeness, just like your shadow is an image of you, okay? So only the detail of what Yahweh was through Adam, when he created Adam. Because you have to understand, Yahweh is a spirit. And so we have to interpret things on a spiritual level and then a fleshly level. And so when Christ came, as I gave you the example last week, we talked about him being both spirit and man. Remember that? And how he came in the flesh and how he had a certain look, okay? Because there's so much debate surrounding this and surrounding the people of ancient times in and now. And so the reason that I said that, because one of the mysteries is going to be when Christ returns is how he's going to look, because we've been taught that Christ was not melanated. Once he returns, it's going to be a shock as to who he looks, what he looks like. And the reason I'm sharing this with you, because when I was in seminary school, one of the subjects that we talked about is when he returns, the world is going to dismiss him as if it was a fraud. And this is one of the reasons that they dismissed him or want to dismiss him as a fraud, is because of how he looks. according to what popular mainstream shows him. This is very important. Don't you miss this, because a lot of people, again, they look so focused on race so much that they miss the main point. And so this is one of the reasons that I'm sharing this with you, because, again, when we was in school, this is what we talked about, is that when they see him, he's not going to look as the most popular image of Christ that you see in today's world. He's going to look as the opposite. And so when people see him, they're going to, the way Lucifer is going to sell this when the Antichrist come on the scene, is that this was fake. This wasn't real. That wasn't actually the Messiah. And so this is how he's going to spin it, to keep people blind, to keep people dumb to the facts of what's really going on, what really is going to take place when Christ returns. And so, again, you see Lucifer, the evilness of this world, and how he's pinned men against each other. Again, you got to grow past that. It's a spiritual thing. This is a warfare that's more higher than what you see on this earth and what we look at on a day-to-day basis. So, again, with that being said, you know, we have to grow spiritually, and we have to grow together. And so we're going to go over to Revelations. I'm going to share this with you. In fact, I'm almost done. And so before I go over to Revelations to get ready to close out, I always like to interject salvation just to make sure that I don't miss it, because I know sometimes people go, you know, may come in later into the teaching. And so I want to share with you the plan of salvation. If you are unsure of your salvation, I want you to understand how important your salvation is to me, most of all to Christ and the Heavenly Father. And it's important, and it should be most of all, most important to you, where you're going to spend all eternity, okay? Because, again, these things are very important when it comes to understanding the Word and growing spiritually, and to also show love to one another, okay? So Romans 10th chapter, verses 9 and 10, where it talks about salvation. All you have to do is confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, and thou shalt be saved. Salvation in heaven is yours. All you have to do is believe. Don't let anything in this world distract you from receiving salvation. And I'm not saying for you not to pursue success in life, whatever it is, whatever your success may be. Your success may be to just, you know, do good on your job. Hey, that's success. I consider success anything that's moral and stand out of trouble, and most of all, worshiping the Most High and being a son of Christ or a son of Yahweh. That's what success is. Not how much money you have, not how many degrees, not how many people like you, not how many friends you have, how many social media likes you have, how many social media friends that you have. Those things are great. I don't knock those things. I think it's wonderful that a lot of people like you. Okay, I think that's a great thing. However, I'm not big on that. I'm mostly big on your salvation, that you're being saved and that you're receiving salvation so that you can live for all eternity with our Creator. And that was his purpose, was that Adam and Eve was to live for all eternity. But because of the disobedience and being tricked by Lucifer, they fell. They fell from the grace of Yahweh. And because of that, you know, now we have all these things that we as mankind have to deal with in this life, this evil. And it just makes me wonder, why did man, you know, decide to make those choices? And a lot of times I think often, why did Lucifer decide to rebel against Yahweh? It doesn't seem profitable to rebel against your Creator, you know, because you know that in the end you're going to be punished for it. And so it's the same thing now in our lives today. It made sense to me 20 years ago to get saved because, you know, as a young man, you know, I thought about, well, if I die today, where would I spend all eternity? And I didn't want to be faced with that. I just didn't want that for me. I know what I was taught. I knew how I was raised, what I was trained. I don't want to spend all eternity away from my Creator. In fact, I'd rather be there with him to see him. It's going to be a joy to be in heaven. And so I really pray that that we see this, that we see the Word, and that we see him for what he is and what he wants for us, because he wants nothing but the best for us as his children, okay? So we're going to go ahead and look at Revelation, the first chapter, okay? And so next week we're going to be talking about the judgments, okay? we're going to be getting into the judgments of what's going to happen. We talked about last week what happened to people when they pass away and leave this world. Whether you're a believer, we know where you go. If you're a non-believer, we know where you go as well, okay? And so we pray that, you know, if you have life, my dad used to say, as long as you have breath in your body, you have opportunity. And so right now you have the opportunity to receive salvation and to not, you know, go down to the pits, which is hell. You have a choice not to go to the lake of fire, because that's exactly what's going to happen to people, you know, who choose not to believe, who think that this is a joke. Okay, so I'm praying for you guys out there that you believe, okay? So go ahead and look at Revelations, the first chapter. We're going to take a look at verse 14 and 15, okay? Okay, so verses 14 and 15, this is what it says. It says, his head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burn in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. Okay? And so the reason that I'm showing you all this, there are other scriptures, but again, I highly encourage you to do your own research. Okay? You come to the conclusion that, you know, and I ask that you pray about this spiritually, about, you know, about these scriptures and the word. The reason that I'm showing you this, because it's going to have relevance when we start talking about Revelation and we start talking about the children of Israel, because a lot of things begin to make more sense. And it is so many books. I was actually shocked when I did some research on about so many books that talks about the true children of Israel, of Yahweh the Most High. And I was actually shocked at this day and time. I guess, like I said, the world is waking up to the truth. And you have other people who are of other races that are acknowledging the truth, which is a good thing. Again, it's about the truth. And the truth shall what? Set you free. Again, if you are free and you believe, you don't have an issue with this at all. And I've met people who don't have an issue with it, who are real true believers, who don't have an issue with it. It's those who have some hidden agenda, who basically, in my opinion, are serving Lucifer, in my opinion, that have an issue with this, because it needs to be discussed. You know, when it comes to certain things, we are so quick to dance around things and not acknowledge the truth, or things that are even possibly the truth, or to even think about it. But when things are a blatant lie, we know we just want to roll with it just to stay comfortable, to keep relationship and friendships. That's not what I'm about, okay? And again, you know, you'll see the relevance of this once we start getting to future teachings. And so, again, what I want to share with you in verse 14, it talks about Yeshua. This is Christ. You know, when John saw him, he said that his hair was like wool. We know that there's only one group of people on the face of the planet with hair like wool, okay? And, you know, you have so many people who try to debunk this as scholars. And, you know, you have so many people that come forward as scholars and say, no, this is the truth, okay? And it also talks about the feet unto fine brass, as if they what? Burned in the furnace. So we all know that the reference that is making to Christ, that he was a melanated man, okay? His hair was a melanated, belonged to a melanated person. And so you think about these things when it talks about how his feet burned in the furnace. You know, if you put anything in the furnace, if it burns, it's going to turn black, okay? And so, again, you know, these things are important to us, okay, to everyone that believes it is important. The reason why I point this out that it's important, because why? Number one, when you see Christ, you'll recognize the one true Yahweh, I mean Yeshua, the Christ, the Messiah. You're going to recognize him. And as I stated to you before when he was in class, you know, that we talked about how Lucifer is going to use that to deceive the nations even more and say, see, we've showed you what Christ looked like in the past. That wasn't him. And people are going to be even more deceived because they didn't believe. This is the trick of Lucifer. You have to know when lies or a trick of Satan. You can't fall for these lies. It's time for the truth. It's time to stop hiding things and stop lying and stop, as the old school used to say, going along to get along. Let's tell the truth, because the truth just sets you free, okay? And so hopefully something was said today to bless you. I'm about getting ready to close out. Again, I'd like to thank Derek Oliver and Chaos Talk Radio for this opportunity to spread the word. Next week, we're going to be talking about the rewards that believers receive and the judgment, the punishments that the non-believers are going to receive for their life and for their rejection of Christ. Again, you see all the evils all over the world, okay? And so people are rejecting him even more. This is the falling away of the church that the scriptures talk about. This is why we see a lot of people talking about, oh, there are millions of Christians on the planet, or almost a billion Christians. Well, let me tell you that you can call them Christians or whatever. I say if you're a true believer, you're a believer. That's why I call myself a believer. And I'll say this to you: everyone that goes to church is not saved. Everyone that's in church, even the ones in the pulpit, don't have good intent, and we already know that. And so again, it's our job to call out the things that are not real. It's our job to speak the truth. And it's our job to save souls. That's the main purpose. That's our main goal, is to save souls and to teach people about the truth. So hopefully you guys will be tuning in again next week when we get into the judgments. And after that, I believe we're just going to go in and get into Revelation. There may be some other things that I may do. And between Revelation, I'm not quite for sure how I want to do it. If I want to just go straight through Revelation, I believe I'll start that people would like for me just to be consistent and to just go straight through Revelation and not take a break in Revelation. I know it's kind of hard once you get started in Revelation. It's a very deep book. Again, it's a joyous time. Let me say that again. Let me stress that again. It's a joyous time. The thing, because I've heard people say through the years in church that they are afraid of Revelation. And I'm like, why are you afraid of Revelation? Revelation is not the thing that's going to happen in Revelation, the torments, the thing that's going to happen is not going to be for the non-believers. And it's going to be for those who chose not to believe before Christ come back to get the church. Because before the gathering together, again, some people call it, quote unquote, the rapture. I don't call it the rapture because the rapture is not in the Bible, but it's okay. If you want to call it the rapture, I'm not knocking anybody. We all, you know, use different terms. As long as you understand what it is that Christ is going to come back and get the church. Okay, the church, that's the key, the church. The church are those who believe since the day of Pentecost and they have died. Okay, and those that are going to be alive that believe at the time of Christ's return. When Christ comes back to get the church, we're going to go back with him to heaven for all eternity. We're going to be with him in heaven. When I say all eternity, I mean we're going to be with Christ and Yahweh for all eternity. And what's going to happen is the 7-year tribulation is going to start with Lucifer. The Antichrist is going to come on the scene. People keep talking about the Antichrist. The Antichrist is going to, he's going to be revealed to man. We're going to be going back to heaven. And then that's when you are not going to want to be here at that time. You talking about, you think this, what's going on in the world now, this is a joke compared to what's coming. You do not want to be here when the Antichrist comes on the scene. Oh, my goodness, you don't want to be here. And that's not to scare anybody. That's to be truthful. And then what's going to happen is Christ is going to come back to destroy the Antichrist, the beast, and the false prophet. He's going to come back and destroy his enemies. And when he comes back, he's going to also resurrect who? We believe, I know in school, he should teach. He's going to resurrect the old school saints. Okay, the Old Testament saints is going to be resurrected, meaning that their body is going to be resurrected back to their spirits. And then we're going to reign 1,000 years on earth with Christ. Yes, I said 1,000 years on earth with Christ. See, a lot of people don't even know that, and that shocked me. You know, I didn't even know it, to be honest with the truth, which until I was in school. And a lot of people, you know, don't even know that. I was like, no, a lot of pastors didn't even teach that when we were growing up in church. But, yes, we're going to actually come back and live on this earth 1,000 years with Christ. He's going to rule for 1,000 years, okay? See, a lot of people think it's the end of the earth. We're not even near the end of the earth. So when Christ ruled for that 1,000-year reign, after that 1,000 years is up, then he's going to loose Lucifer from the pits. And then he's going to go be cast into the lake of fire. Judgment for the non-believers is going to be start. The non-believers are going to be resurrected. Yes, everyone's going to have a resurrection. The believers and the non-believers, they're going to be resurrected at the end. And I don't know if any of you remember that old video that Michael Jackson had back in the day. I think it was the 80s, called Thriller. You remember when those zombie-like people got up out of the grave? See, they're not going to get a new body. They're going to look just how they did when they went to the grave. And they're going to be judged. So can you imagine living like that for all eternity and burning in the lake of fire? I wouldn't want that. You know, you're going to get a new body, a new beautiful body that you can't even imagine as believers. And so with that being said, family, I'm going to get ready to close out. Again, hopefully something was said to you to bless you spiritually. Again, I always grow when I teach and bring you things because I have to do more study and research. I learn as well. So, again, I highly encourage you, you know, to look at the scriptures. Do some study and research on your own, okay? It doesn't matter if it's me or who it is that's preaching and teaching. Do some study. You know, the Bible says study to show yourself approved. So each and every one of us have to give an account, okay? And so hopefully, family, something was said to bless you. Again, don't forget, actually, next Friday we're going to have a new show. So where we're going to be freestyling, me and a good friend of mine. We've been knowing each other all our life. His name is Big Tate Entertainment. Next Friday at 6 p.m. Central Time, it's going to be a freestyle Friday. We're just going to talk about, you know, just whatever comes to mind. So, again, family, you all be blessed. I love each and every one of you. Bless the kingdom. And you all have a wonderful night.
You are now tuned into Chaos Radio. Your host, Derek Oliver. Controversy.